Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. When you're in the market for a new Ford, stop by Future Ford for a great selection of new and used vehicles.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX on Agriculture. Coming up on today's program, the Saskatchewan Water Security Agency is providing up to $500,000 this year to help rural residents avoid possible flooding. We'll hear from Patrick Boyle, who is with the Water Security Agency. The Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan is holding a livestock summit tomorrow in Saskatoon. Ian Boxall, the president of APAS, will tell us all about it. Michael Wilton will be coming up on the program to talk about the weekly overview of the wheat market. Of course, he works for the Mercantile Consulting Venture Group. And weather is the most important variable for crops, and poor weather in one part of the world will boost prices for farmers in another. We'll hear from well-known agricultural meteorologist Drew Lerner about that. All of those stories and much more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather. And that's a presentation of Milligan Bio. Milligan Bio now offers bio-meal for your livestock, giving your animals more protein, more energy, and more of what they need. It's also brought to you by Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Another Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, it's mainly sunny here in the Yorkton area today, and once again, we're well below normal when it comes to our temperature.
Yeah, we're close to our normal low, but that's not where we want to be during the afternoon. We'd like to be at least somewhere near our normal high, which is 6, by the way. We're working toward -6, so a big gap between where we are and where we should be. But looking ahead over the next couple of days, high pressure is in control for these few days. There is going to be some cloud cover from time to time. Not too much today. It's mostly now pulling tighter, closer to the center of the storm, which is driving some heavy snow south of the border. Another day of blizzard conditions across the Dakotas. For us, though, we are on the other side of the storm, clear of the core of the energy and the high pressure, which extends all the way from central and northern Ontario back across much of Manitoba, extends into Saskatchewan, and we've got this pretty much fine day. But again, cool. That's our trade-off. And we're missing the blizzard, we're staying cool. I think most people take that trade. -6, though, this afternoon, the wind chill under -10. Tonight, the wind starts to back down after picking up just a bit for the afternoon. And then tomorrow picks up a little stronger. And that's because the high gets a little bit stronger against the low, which gets a little deeper. The storm that's producing the blizzard conditions today to our south is still deepening, and it's going to push into the Great Lakes. The high for us is going to break up a little bit. We'll get more of a center developing over us. And the difference between those two until it builds in will lead to a pretty gusty north to northwest wind through the afternoon. It keeps the cold air locked in too. And then once the high does build overhead, which should take place later on tomorrow night into Thursday, that wind will settle down and we get into a pretty decent stretch of weather. In fact, what will happen beyond that is the high will drift eastward. And there's a very large ridge of high pressure building across British Columbia right now. It's going to extend toward Alberta by Friday and then extend eastward across at least Saskatchewan, maybe into western Manitoba too. But that will send the temperatures up. We may not be warm by the start of the weekend, but we'll be much warmer by the end of it. In fact, normalcy a good bet. Double digits a possibility heading into early next week. The ridge is not very wide, but it's advancing slowly, which would leave us in that for a couple of days. the wintry cold is not over, it looks like, but we'll enjoy what we can get at this point because we have been so cold. -4 degrees the high tomorrow, -12 tomorrow night. The wind again drops back off, so not a big wind chill factor tomorrow night. Sunshine for Thursday, -2. We'll struggle, may get to a freezing on Friday. I think most of us just short. And then Saturday should crack the freezing mark, 1 degree, and we'll shoot through the single digits on Sunday.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour. The Paw is at -7 degrees. Swan River, -10. Dauphin and Brandon, -8. Show Lake Russell and Roblin, -6. Regina is at -8. Saskatoon, -10. Hudson Bay, -6. Broadview, Mooseman, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington, -9. Indian Head, -11. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a north wind at 9 kilometers an hour. 65% is the relative humidity. The temperature is -11 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like -15 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of just -10 degrees and dropped to a low of -17 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is +6 degrees. The normal low is -6 degrees. The sun rose in Yorkton at 6:19 this morning, and it will set at 7:28 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Sprague at +1 degree. The cold spot was Thompson at -32 degrees. The Saskatchewan hotspot yesterday was Buffalo Narrows at +2 degrees. The cold spot was South End at -29 degrees. Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. The Saskatchewan Water Security Agency is providing up to $500,000 this year to help rural residents avoid possible flooding. Patrick Boyle with the Water Security Agency says the Emergency Flood Damage Reduction Program has been launched for 2023.
The Emergency Flood Damage Reduction Program was something that was established first in 2011, and we've brought it back every year since. And it helps communities implement emergency flood damage protection measures. And for RMs, businesses, nonprofits, individuals, yard sites, country residences, cottages, and those kinds of things. It helps prevent against damage from the imminent risk of flooding. So it'll provide assistance for financial, engineering, and technical support to evaluate some of those risks and options to look at mitigation efforts.
The latest Saskatchewan spring runoff report suggests most of the province would see near or below normal runoff this spring, but he says there could still be localized flooding in some areas.
You know, there's always that possibility, and there is an area that is in that above normal category. But, you know, with the spring rains being unpredictable, really, this program is available to certain regions. So you can't have heavy concentrations in one area that do cause problems. And so with the Emergency Flood Damage Reduction Program, gives the option to try to help mitigate in those short-term instances against some of those risks.
Boyle outlines how much funding there is and who is eligible.
This year, we're looking at $500,000 for the 2023 program. And so if you're an RM, a community, a business, a nonprofit organization, or an individual with a yard site or residence or cottage, you'd be eligible for the program. So, and really what we found with this one, looking at the program over, you know, the last 12 years of its existence, every dollar we've invested helps to save $20 to $30 in property damage for that owner. So it's an important program when you can get access to it in those instances.
As for the funding ratio between a landowner and the provincial government,
it just depends on what area you're looking at. So it varies depending on your situation. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis. So it's hard to say that just one shoe fits all.
Boyle says being proactive in flood mitigation efforts has paid off in the past.
Yeah, we just find it in terms of working with residents, it's prove some long-term financial benefits, because every dollar that we've invested as the province here, we've been able to save 20 to 30 in property damage for those communities and businesses and individual landowners.
He lists the areas where above normal runoff is possible this spring.
Well, we're looking at, there's the area, I would say central to northern part of Saskatchewan, where they're in that above normal category in a band kind of going east to west and down. So, you know, looking at that region, and if there's heavy rainfall events this spring, you know, you could see some activity in those areas. Now, generally, there is usually a couple areas that have those localized flooding issues. And so this program is available going forward in that base.
Patrick Boyle is with the Saskatchewan Water Security Agency. It's time now for the AgriView portion of our program, and that's a presentation of New Era Ag Technologies in Swan River.
New Future Ford has been serving the Melville area for over 30 years. They focus on the future. Their staff are ready for what's to come. Ford Tech is changing all the time with new vehicle technology like EV, self-driving, and more. Get ready to drive into the future. Why? Because the future is Future Ford.
It's 94 AgriView.
Canfax reports 12,764 head of cattle were sold in Saskatchewan last week, 2,500 more than the previous week. Steer prices were mixed, with the heavier weight classes showing some improvement, while the midweight categories were lower. 5 to 600-pound steers fell $6 to average $328.50 per hundredweight, while 8 to 9s were $2.67 higher, for a provincial average of $252.50 per hundredweight. Most of the heifer prices were higher, led by 4 to 5s, which were up $9.50 to average $304.50 per hundredweight. 5 to 6 heifers also did well, rising $6.29 to $291.10 per hundredweight. Prices of live non-fed cattle in Alberta were mixed. D2 slaughter cows were down $1.86 to average $132.50. D3 slaughter cows were up $5.33 to average $119.13 per hundredweight. A new report suggests that as other nations reduce their agricultural footprints in an effort to boost sustainability, their loss could be Canada's human capital gain. A recent report notes there's a global crunch coming as many farmers near retirement age, and not enough is being done to fill that gap. In Canada, 40% of farmers are expected to retire by 2033, which would place agriculture on the cusp of one of the biggest labor and leadership transitions in the country's history. That will come on top of an already expected shortfall of 24,000 farm workers over the same time frame. The report's authors say the first short-term step in addressing this crisis should be to identify and recruit 30,000 permanent immigrants who want to establish their own farms and greenhouses or take over existing ones. Some southern Saskatchewan municipalities have reintroduced a $20 bounty for coyotes. Rural municipality of Weyburn-Reeve, Norm McFadden, says families are concerned after seeing packs of up to 15 coyotes in the area. The Saskatchewan government introduced a $20 coyote bounty in 2009, but it wasn't renewed in 2010, the same year the province introduced a compensation program for producers who lose livestock to predators. McFadden says 95% of the feedback has been positive, and he says the program is expected to run until late fall. A well-known facility in Brandon is receiving support from the Manitoba government. During the Royal Manitoba Winter Fair last week, Premier Heather Stephenson announced up to $11 million for the Keystone Center. The venue hosts multiple agricultural events like the Royal Manitoba Winter Fair and Manitoba Ag Days. Of the total dollar amount, about $3 million is in the form of a grant through the Arts, Culture, and Sport in Community Fund. These funds will be put towards $6 million in renovations, including upgrades to air conditioning, washrooms, arena seating, sprinklers, and loading ramps. The remaining $7.9 million will help the Keystone Center with its sustainability plan. A Canadian astronaut who will orbit the moon next year began staring at the stars on an Ontario farm. Jeremy Hansen, who grew up on a farm, was named to the four-person crew for the Artemis II mission yesterday. Artemis II is part of NASA's mission to return astronauts to the surface of the moon. This will be Hansen's first mission to space, and he will be the first Canadian to orbit the moon. He'll serve as a mission specialist. He and three U.S. astronauts are scheduled to launch in November of 2024 on the Orion spacecraft, perform a lunar flyby, and then return to Earth. The mission is scheduled to last about 10 days. And police in Maine say a jogger encountered an angry cow, and it was no joke. The Farmington Police Department shared details of the encounter on April Fool's Day, a day after the actual encounter, and assured that this was no prank. The woman was preparing for a jog on the Whistle Stop Trail when she was charged by the cow, which lifted her off the ground with its horns. Police said the woman escaped after suffering a cut that required stitches on Friday. The animal was picked up by the farm owner, and the matter was forwarded to the district attorney for review.
Five.
Welcome back to GX on Agriculture. I'm Doug Falconer. It's sunny and minus 11 degrees in the Yorkton-Melville region. I'll have your complete weather details coming up at the top of the hour. The Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan is holding a livestock summit tomorrow in Saskatoon. Statistics Canada reports the provincial cattle herd has dropped 90,000 head over the past 2 years. Pasture land is being converted into cropland as more livestock producers, younger and older, exit the business. The Livestock Summit tomorrow will include producers, industry representatives, and academics. They will attempt to identify potential solutions for current circumstances facing all livestock producers, cattle, bison, and sheep. Ian Boxall is the president of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan.
Our members voiced a concern about the livestock sector and the decline we're seeing in the livestock sector and the struggles they are facing, and they asked us to do some research into it. So we're going to bring some people together, economists and professors and that, to talk about not just what the issues are, but what some of the solutions could be and some of the policy changes that need happen to see success in that sector. Agriculture doesn't work in Saskatchewan without a thriving livestock sector, and right now they are facing some hurdles that we need to get our heads wrapped around and understand if there is some policy changes that could be made to benefit those producers.
He says the fact that the livestock producer has a 365-day-a-year job is only one of the reasons some people are getting out of it.
I think that fits in, but if you talk to a livestock producer, they love their livestock and they love doing it, and they are environmentalists in the fact that pasture land and forage land is great for the environment. It's a carbon sink that works well in our province. So there are huge, you know, social benefits to the livestock sector in Saskatchewan. And yes, I will admit I'm not a livestock producer, but it is a lot more work than what I would do as a grain farmer, because like you said, it is 365. But those people love that industry and they love their animals. And we just need to ensure that, you know, you put the work in, you do the best you can. It needs to be a profitable business at the end of the day. And right now, as we drive around, you know, last summer, seeing thousands of acres behind fence that at one time would have been grasslands and forage land for livestock, I want to see the livestock sector thrive in this province.
Boxall wonders why Ottawa isn't doing more to keep land as pasture and grassland.
That is one question I think we can ask at the summit is, you know, I was watching the news the other day and on came an ad from the Canadian government about the importance of forage and pasture land and native grasslands. And yet when you drive around, you're seeing them plowed under to cropland because it just makes more economic sense. So is there an avenue there where there is a policy change to ensure that these producers are willing to leave it in pasture land and leave it in grassland for the benefit of everyone and the environment?
He says the federal government needs to provide a financial incentive to keep forage and pasture land.
You betcha. The government has put a lot of money into environmental programming for agriculture, and if they're going to do this, and if grasslands is something that they feel is a benefit, and I think we all know that it's a benefit, I think stats show that and research shows that it's a benefit, then I agree. It's probably time they put their money where their mouth is. You know, when we start hearing of, you know, over the last 10 years that the livestock herds have declined 600,000 head, there's a problem in the sector, that, and we need to find some solutions for it.
Boxall notes that the price of cattle is on the rise, but so is the carbon tax.
You know, and I'm hearing price of cattle is okay right now, but they're faced with the same thing as everybody. Carbon tax, increased price of everything still affects their bottom line the same. And you weigh in the fact that it is 365-day-a-year job, and you weigh in some of those other factors, and all of a sudden the appeal to get out is a lot easier than the appeal to stay in. So these are conversations that I hope we have and come up with some solutions, or at least some ideas that we can present that maybe would show some reprieve or give some support to those guys in the livestock sector that's so important in Saskatchewan.
He notes that anything that arises from their summit will be passed on to the provincial and federal governments.
Yeah, you bet. Our goal would be that we compile some data and some information, can have those tough conversations, not just hearing what the issues are, but looking at solutions and compiling a final report with some measurables in there that we, you know, work towards a goal to help those producers out.
That's Ian Boxall, the president of the Agricultural Producers Association of Saskatchewan. APAS is holding a livestock summit tomorrow in Saskatoon. It's time now for the livestock market conditions, and they're a presentation of Heartland Livestock in Verdon.
Stock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for June closed at 160.22. That's down 1 full cent. August live cattle closed at 159.77, down 97. May feeder cattle closed at 202.27, down 87. August feeder cattle closed at 219.50, down 120. May lean hogs closed at 82.17, down 220. June lean hogs closed at 89.57, down 185. And that's the livestock market conditions. Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture has provided his weekly overview of the wheat market. It was issued through the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission yesterday afternoon.
U.S. wheat futures were higher across all contracts for the week after a mixed reaction to the stocks and prospective plantings report. In the significant purchases and trades, Turkey bought 395,000 tons of wheat from Ukraine last week. Initial reports indicated that 695,000 tons was purchased, but this was later decreased by 300,000 tons. We're not sure for the reason of the decrease. There's speculation that Turkey was upset by the lack of Russian offers, or maybe Russia supplied the 300,000 tons in a government-to-government deal. Jordan tenders Tuesday, and U.S. weekly wheat sales for the week were within the trade's expectation of 152,000 tons. This is about 5.5 million bushels. This is still well ahead of the approximately 2 million bushels of weekly sales that the U.S. needs to make in order to meet the USDA's 775 million bushel export estimate. In some of the most important news that happened last week was on Friday, the USDA released the March stocks report and the prospective plantings report. Both reports were seen supportive to the markets. The USDA put U.S. corn and soybean stocks as of March 1st below the trade's expectations. For the plantings report, corn area was higher than trade guesses, but soybean area was smaller. We will talk further about the wheat-specific numbers in the U.S. section. But first, let's start in Canada. Cold and snowy weather will likely delay seeding in the spring wheat areas of the U.S. and parts of the Canadian prairies. We have heard there are record levels of snow in parts of Montana for this time of year. Another system is forecast to bring another 10 to 20 inches of snow to the Dakotas and southern Manitoba this week. Canadian wheat exports continue to slow. Despite this, week 34 exports of 393,000 tons were still above the average weekly pace needed to meet the AAFC's export number. If maintained, the current pace suggests Canadian wheat exports could surpass 19.5 million tons, compared to the AEFC's current 19.3 million ton number. Canadian producers delivered another 559,000 tons during the week, causing stocks to grow by 2.9 million tons. Most of the stocks are in primary elevators. Visible stocks in Thunder Bay grew by 66.7 thousand tons over the week as exporters prepared for the opening of the Great Lakes. The Great Lakes saw its first ships of the season on Saturday, March 25th. For durum, just 53,000 tons of durum was shipped in week 34 as exporters build stocks in both Vancouver for exports to North Africa and in Thunder Bay for exports to Europe. The Great Lakes are open now, and we expect to see shipments of the durum out of Thunder Bay in the next few weeks. In the U.S., the USDA stocks report was neutral for wheat. March 1st wheat stocks were 12 million bushels above what the trade was guessing at 946 million bushels. This is an 8% decrease from last year. On-farm stocks were 53 million bushels higher than last year, while off-farm stocks were 136 million bushels lower. The USDA Prospective Plantings report put all wheat seeded area 1 million acres above what the trade was expecting at 49.9 million acres. Winter wheat area is expected to be 37.5 million acres, up 13% from last year. U.S. spring wheat area was put at just 10.6 million acres. This reflects a 2% decrease from last year compared to the trade's forecast of a 1% increase in seeded area. This number was bullish for spring wheat, but is likely too low. The USDA put durum area up 9% from last year at 1.8 million acres. If this kind of area is realized, a return to trend yield would result in a 10% production increase from last year to 1.9 million tons. We have U.S. imports down 200,000 tons for a total supply that is similar to last year at 3.8 million tons. We estimate smaller animal feed use will allow U.S. durum exports to increase by 75,000 tons to 625,000 tons. This will not be helpful to Canadian prices. The U.S. winter wheat crop saw some additional moisture relief over the week. 48% of the U.S. winter wheat crop is experiencing drought conditions, which is a 3% improvement from last week. Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado continue to be the most impacted. Winter wheat crop conditions in Kansas are 19% good to excellent and 52% poor to very poor. In Australia, news was limited out of Australia. Conditions have turned slightly drier, but soil moisture is strong overall. Seeding is set to begin in the next few weeks. In Argentina, after some beneficial rain, Argentina's forecast is dry again for the next 2 weeks. Argentina's Grain Inspectors Union has launched an indefinite strike. Strikes in Argentina have become commonplace, and the markets have largely stopped paying attention to them. In the European Union, the EU Commission updated their old crop wheat balance sheet and released their initial estimates for the coming crop. For old crop, imports were raised by 1 million tons, which went directly into their ending stocks. For new crop, production is expected to rise by 4% from last year. Higher production and higher beginning stocks, but smaller imports, are expected to cause total supply in the upcoming season to grow by 2% year over year. Unchanged demand from the previous year will cause the entire increase in supply to go into ending stocks, which are expected to grow by 19% to 22 million tons. Poland says they want to start curbing imports from Ukraine, as the country has been inundated with cheap Ukrainian grain. The EU Ag Commissioner, who is Polish, has said he would support such measures, but we don't think they are possible. In the Black Sea, Russia has been making some interesting moves. Cargill, Viterra, and now ADM this morning announced they are exiting the Russian export market. Cargill later clarified that they are only going to stop elevating Russian grain and will continue to export Russian grain. These announcements come 3 weeks after rumors that the Russian government has asked multinational grain companies to leave. These moves are largely cosmetic. Russian grain will continue to be exported regardless of the company name that is on the paperwork. There was a lack of Russian offers at the TMO or Turkey tender. This could have resulted from confusion surrounding the recent exit announcements of multinational grain companies, or simply the Russian government preferred to do a private deal. Despite an implied floor at $275 on Russian FOB wheat prices, we've heard rumors that there were $260 offers given. For the coming week, the market will center more on weather and what happens to the Black Sea corridor after the 60-day extension. It will be a short week in Europe because of the Good Friday holiday, but weather, Trump's surrender in New York, and more on the banking crisis will keep the markets volatile. We think futures should gain some in the near term. We're sold out of old crop and will wait before selling additional new crop.
That's Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture in Winnipeg. It's time now to
Commodities Update.
Canola futures closed mixed today. May canola closed at $7.77.30, up 90 cents. July canola closed at $7.59.70, down 10 cents. May Minneapolis wheat closed at $8.89.50, down 2.25 cents. May Kansas City wheat closed at $8.72.50, down 2.75 cents. May Chicago wheat closed at $6.91.50, down 2 cents. May corn closed at $6.53.75, down 4 cents. May soybeans closed at $15.17.50, down 4.5 cents. May oats closed at $3.41 per bushel. That's down 7.25 cents. And that's the commodities update. Please stay tuned. GX and Agriculture will be back with the Farm Bulletin Board next.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The 4-H Spring Steer and Heifer Show is coming up in Yorkton on April 13th through the 15th. Planning and preparations have started for the event. More details and information will be coming soon. Of course, that's next week already here in Yorkton, the 4-H Spring Steer and Heifer Show, April 13th through the 15th. You can place a bid on grassland restoration with the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Foundation. If you're interested in ceding cultivated land back to native prairie, the reverse auction allows landowners to put a realistic price on what it will cost them to convert land back to native prairie and, of course, win the chance to receive financial compensation for grassland restoration projects. Bidding has now actually closed for that, so we should be hearing some new details on that soon. Are you a private landowner who owns 500 acres or more of grazing land? Then the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association wants to hear from you. You're being asked to take a survey that will explore understanding, perceptions, and interest in carbon opportunities and ecological goods and services across the Canadian prairies. Responses will be anonymous and grouped to your larger region for protection of privacy. And you will receive $50 as a thank you for your participation. You can go to www.fuseconsulting.ca/take-the-survey in order to complete that survey. And of course, for more information, you can simply contact the Saskatchewan Stock Growers Association on that. The Bayer Crop Science has launched the 2023 Opportunity Scholarship Program for students. It's $96,000 in scholarship funding available to graduating grade 12 students. The application deadline is June 8th. You can apply online through Universities Canada, and two scholarships will be targeted for Indigenous youth. So you can find out more about that going to Universities Canada. And be sure to listen to the latest GX on Agriculture podcast. It is brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. It's now coming up on 1 o'clock in Saskatchewan, 2 o'clock in Manitoba, Time to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Partly sunny, winds north-northeast at 10 to 20, and a high of minus 6. For tonight, partly cloudy, winds north-northwest at 10 to 20, a low of minus 13. For tomorrow, partly sunny, winds north-northwest at 15 to 30, then gusting higher at times, a high of minus 4 and a low of minus 12. For Thursday, mainly sunny, winds west-southwest at 10 to 20 and a high of minus 2. For Good Friday, sunny, a high of minus 1, and for Saturday, mainly sunny, a high of plus 1. In the Paw, it's minus 7 degrees, Swan River minus 10, Dauphin and Brandon minus 8, Show Lake Russell and Roblin minus 6. Regina is at minus 8, Saskatoon minus 10, Hudson Bay minus 6, Broadview Mooseman, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington minus 9, Indian Head minus 11. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, a north wind at 9 kilometers an hour. 65% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 11 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 15 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow at 12:15 Saskatchewan time for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.
CJGX Yorkton, a Harvard Media radio station serving Saskatchewan and Manitoba. We are GX94.
The GX on Agriculture podcast has been brought to you by Future Ford in Melville. Future Ford is your automotive expert. From sales to service, they're the ones you can trust to get rolling again sooner.